It's time!
Hello, everybody, and welcome back to Mass Radio Sports Talk presented by 3.5 Athletes on Loot Air Student Radio. It's been about a month since you've heard from us. We're happy to be back. My name is Christian Bond. I am known as POU's half athlete. I don't play sports anymore, but I write about them. I cover them. I do all I can with them. Joining me in studio, she is a member of the POU's women's basketball team. She plays forward and wears number 44. Her name is Lacey Nicholson. Lacey, how are you? What was your favorite Christmas present you got?
Oh gosh. Wow, you threw that at me fast. Let's see. I got new Nike running shoes from my sister. They're a cute little light blue. And nice. You know when you get a new pair of shoes and they're just so fresh and clean, you don't want to wear them anywhere? Well, I wear them with my PLU travel gear, and they look pretty sweet.
Nice.
Yeah.
Nice. But how was break for you? How are you?
Break was good. The women's basketball team was able to travel to Vegas for a tournament down there. We left on the 27th, so shortly after Christmas. And we had a lot of fun down there. Our first game was a close one. I think there were 6 lead changes overall in the game. We ended up losing by 2, but that was one of our better performances of the season. And then we ended up losing the second game, but a lot of good learning opportunities down in Vegas, and we had some fun as a team as well.
Perfect, perfect. Also joining me in studio, he is a member of the POU men's basketball team. He claims to be a point forward, and he wears number 32. His name is Drew Artisoni. Drew, how are you? And what was your favorite gift you got for Christmas?
I'm good. And I guess I claim to be a point forward since I play both point and five. I guess I don't know what else we could call me.
Yes.
Dickerson plays me
PowerPoint.
In every position in the world and then some. I'm great. Basketball finally got back on track,
yes,
which was good to see. 2 huge wins this weekend to go head over the mountain, which was very, very, very important to us. As far as how I'm feeling in the sports world, though, I'm a little disappointed. I'm a little disappointed in college football. I'm going to go on a little Kellen rant since Kellen Westring is no longer with us. I'm going to get a couple minutes here. Listen, I don't understand how college football does not reward teams for improvement. That's what I've learned about bowl season, Christian. I just don't get it. Is that, you know, these teams like USC was terrible at the beginning of the year. No one was harder on USC than I think this show. We were pretty hard on USC. And USC, I think, was the number 3 or 4 program in the nation by the end of the year. If I had to give you the top 6 programs, I think it would be Alabama, Clemson, USC, Penn State, UW, and then Ohio State
okay.
in the 6th spot.
Okay.
So that's what I'm kind of disappointed about. I wish college football would, you know, start rewarding teams for being better.
So save all that.
For improvement.
Everybody listening, stay tuned to the end of the show. We're going to come back to what happened in the Peach Bowl, and we'll talk a little bit more about that. Drew, you're not right. Okay.
at least it's, you know, back where we left off.
Yes, it is. So you notice that we are still calling ourselves 3.5 athletes. We have a new member to the program. As Drew mentioned, Kellen Westring has finished school here at POU. He's out doing things in the real world. We're all proud of him. The new host is a little bit thicker than Kellen Westring was. he kind of does kind of the same stuff. He's a tight end for the POU football team. He wears number 87. His name is DJ Winner. DJ, how are you?
I'm good. I'm excited to be here and excited for this great opportunity that you guys gave me.
Yeah, we're excited to have you. What did you do over break? What were you up to?
You know, my break was pretty low-key, played a lot of Madden.
I like it.
But I guess my big highlight of my break was going to Vegas and supporting Lacey and the girls' basketball team.
Mm-hmm.
That was just a fun experience. Got to go down with the Nicholsons. Shouts out to them. It was awesome for them taking me. But, yeah, it was a great break.
That's fantastic. All right, I want to remind those of you who are listening right now that you could find most of these stories at mastmedia.pou.edu. We want to hear from you, our listeners, throughout the show. Feel free to call us, and if you got questions for DJ, if you got questions for anyone else. Oh, we got one caller already. Tell them where you can find. Talk about the YouTube page and all that good stuff.
I guarantee you it's Kellen. If anybody wants to take bets on who it is, I could bet it's Kellen.
I hope it's Kellen.
I can't. I have no money to gamble.
You have no money to gamble.
DJ ran out of
Vegas
money
did not treat DJ well. I think I'm a betting man. DJ may have owed me money after this one. Christian, who's on the air?
Right now calling us is Kellen from off campus.
No.
Kellen, how are you?
Wow, I miss you guys.
We miss you too. What have you been up to?
You know, I just got done working out, and I checked my watch, and it's noon, and so I know I got to tune in. It kind of feels like Neighbors too. I kind of feel like Zac Efron. And where I'm going with this is the fact that in Neighbors 2, Zac Efron just can't stay away. He comes back, he goes into the sorority, and he's about, 26 years old. He's out of place, but he still wants to be involved. He still wants to do whatever he can do. And so just to let you guys know, I'm like Zac Efron right now. I'm very jealous of you, DJ. You are thicker. Bless your heart. But I'm coveting your position right now, man. Don't take it for granted. This is just the best part of my life, and I still want to be involved, so I wanted to call in today, guys.
Well, you can always call in. You can call on whatever subject you want to talk to us about. Subscribe to the YouTube page. It's Half Athlete Radio on YouTube. We've got to get our numbers up there. And,
We miss you, Kellen.
There it is.
I'm on the couch right now, sweating, drinking my protein shake, and it's just like, it's weird. It kind of life just hit me. But, DJ, man, I'm proud of you. I think you're the guy. You're the new guy. So do it well, man. And I'm, hopefully going to be, tuning in every Monday. So proud of you guys.
Thanks, fam.
All right. Sounds good. Thanks, Kellen.
All right.
You know, it's a great thing after the way DJ's Christmas break went in Vegas, he's no longer a betting man because he would have lost there. Yeah. No, it's we do miss Kellen a heck of a lot, right, Christian? I mean, sometimes.
Sometimes Drew misses Kellen. Yeah. I miss Kellen all the time.
Sometimes.
Right. We need to get going, though, here, and we need to learn a little bit more about who DJ Winter is. So give us the basics. What do you do, DJ?
Well, I play the best position in football, known as the tight end. Mm-hmm. We don't get all the love sometimes, but we kind of just go nice and steady and make plays every once in a while. I'm a junior majoring in communications, specifically journalism. Mm-hmm. And like I said, I play football here.
Hey, just on your comment there, Jimmy Graham gets all my love, so he's a tight end.
Another tight end, there it is. Gronk gets all of mine.
Lacey has an affinity for Jimmy Graham. You'll learn that very quickly here.
She's told me. I see her screensaver every day.
Yep.
Okay, Deej, so where did you go to high school? And I know you were involved in other sports and activities there. What did you do there?
I'm multi-talented. I played basketball and football at Puyallup High School, and I ran the same offense, actually, as Drew did in high school, the dribble drive.
Oh, the dribble drive.
The dribble drive.
Do you ever miss playing basketball?
All the time.
Do you still keep up with it here at PLU?
I don't get out to as many games as I would like to, but, I stay with it a little bit.
Nice. I see the PLU football guys in the gym all the time playing basketball.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
DJ's got a pretty good jump shot. You can tell he's one of the few football guys who continue to play, who did actually play in high school. So what do you do? So what do you do outside of PLU besides play pickup with the guys?
I really like to golf. Golfing is one of my main hobbies, especially in the summer. I like to cook as well. I made some pretty dang good omelets for Lacey, her sister, and John yesterday, which was really good. And just hanging out with the buddies, that's just really fun. I live in a house with a bunch of football guys, and They're great guys to hang out with.
Very nice. So, journalism major, what led you to it?
So coming in, I originally wanted to do kinesiology or business, but I took a economics class, and I realized that just wasn't for me because I just didn't have a passion for it, and it was a little tough,
Yep.
So I kind of had to do some soul searching, see what I could do. Because I wanted to do something within sports. Mm-hmm. And I was like, hey, writing on sports would be pretty cool. And I we get to put an opinion in there, which I like doing. And so that's just kind of where I found my calling, and it sounded really fun.
Cool, cool.
And what experience do you have with sports broadcasting so far?
Another thing I did over break, I got to broadcast some girls' basketball games, and I actually did some PA work on the second day, which was really nerve-wracking.
It's harder than you think it would be, right?
Yeah, when I was reading the sportsmanship statement, my buddy Tanner Perry was off to my right, and he looks over at me, and I got sweat dripping down my face because I was so nervous and kind of stumbling. But, no, broadcasting the games was really fun. I got to do it with our very own Kellen Westring, and we had a good charisma there, and it was working really well.
I love how we talk about Kellen now like he died.
I know, we totally
we talk about Kellen like he's completely died.
I know.
He's moved on. He's no longer a free agent.
But kind of.
So
he's moving on to Serbia.
Yeah, he signed his contract. He's no longer a free agent.
Yep.
So good. What are you looking to get into after college? Seriously.
I hope to do broadcasting. You know, I'll probably have to start out small. I won't go right into ESPN unless they contact me. But writing would be cool too, specifically football or basketball. You know, maybe even baseball. Baseball would be really fun, I feel like, because it's such a long season. But yeah, something along those lines.
So who is your favorite sports broadcaster or journalist? Who's someone you look up to?
Growing up, you know, he doesn't do it so much now because he's on the SEC Network, but Brent Musburger. I'm sensing
really?
The dislike.
Brent Musburger?
Yeah.
Of all the guys?
Everybody could say, like, Al Michaels or...
Scott Van Pelt,
yeah. But, I just love Brent Musburger's voice, especially, growing up, Saturday Night Football. All
right.
It's just a great atmosphere, and I don't know why, but I just love his voice, and it gets me hyped every time I'm watching.
What's his thing?
What about him?
What does he say? Does he have a...
It just like seems really climactic, like when they're doing the intro, playing some highlights. It's just it gets me goosebumps and gets me going. gets me really fired up. Like I could listen to his voice before one of my own football games and just go out and tear it up.
Christian, you're a Troy Wingo guy, huh?
I don't know. I feel like the list of not like broadcasters I don't like would be a lot longer than the ones I do. I feel like it's easier to not like a broadcaster though.
Yeah.
All right, Deej, kind of moving on from broadcasting. Do you have a job right now?
Yes, I do. I actually, I'm in the Pizza Time Hall of Fame.
Are you really?
No, I'm just kidding. I've been delivering pizzas now for about 2 years. That's a really, really fun job for me. It's not too hard. And all I do is drive around and deliver pizzas. It's make about $20 an hour. It's a good little gig for a college guy like me.
So I got a question for you. How's it playing with a little brother? Do you peel off sometimes and take a pop shot every once in a while? Little brother rivalry.
Yeah.
Come on.
Lacey can attest to this. In those pickup basketball games.
Uh-huh.
In good old Memorial Gym, we go at it sometimes. But been growing up playing with him all my life and. It's been fun. I didn't think I was going to get to play with him again in college, but I ended up getting to recruit him a little bit, and he ended up coming here, and it's just been a great experience, and I'll definitely miss it once it's over. That's for sure.
Yeah.
All right. Go for it. All right. So let's wrap this up with a little word association. One of us will go ahead and shout out a word, and you got to tell us the first thing that comes into your mind, whether it be a sentence or just one word. Just let us know.
Okay.
What comes to your mind. Yeah. Okay. All right. Go for it, Lace.
Student athlete.
Hard.
Hard.
That's hard.
Hard.
That's hard.
Okay.
I feel that.
All right. I like that one. Go ahead, Lacey.
3.5 athletes.
A fun radio show and, in my opinion, the best one at PLU.
Yes. Ooh. Well, that's fact, actually.
Yeah.
That's it.
Statistically. All right. Intramural volleyball.
Shouts out. We just won last night. improvement, because I've been getting better at my volleyball skills.
Attaway.
That's good. I got one.
Okay.
Puyallup.
Ooh. Overprivileged.
Wow. Why?
I just feel like a lot of the kids that go there don't really have to work for much.
Ooh.
And they don't meet a lot of adversity, and that's why I would use overprivileged.
All right.
Did you face that when you were there?
When I came in at first, you know, I thought it was the cat's meow, and I kind of
never heard that before. That's
I kind of got humbled my sophomore year because Puyallup's only a 3-year high school, and that was my first year in high school, and I got moved down to JV on basketball, and that just kind of set the tone for the rest of my high school career. I realized I had to work for a lot more, and my dad kind of had a "I told you so" moment there, I guess.
Nice.
But that really humbled me and put me in the right direction.
Nice.
Cool. You got any more?
I got one more.
Give it to him.
Weightlifting.
The grind, especially in the summer, all those SAQs, it's really tough.
I got one for you.
Okay.
E-mall.
Family.
Very fair. All right. So we're going to take a short break here. When we come back, it'll be time for Lacey's Lutes. Lacey sat down with a member of the POU men's basketball team. Find out who it is. This is Mass Radio Sports Talk presented by 3.5 Athletes on Lute Air Student Radio.
Hey, everybody. Let's all lean in together.
Show the world you support women at work and at home.
When men lean in, everyone wins.
Help women aim high.
My brother would always pick me above his friends to be on his basketball teams.
It's moments like that that you carry with you forever.
Hi, men. Are you?
Welcome back to Mass Radio Sports Talk presented by 3.5 Athletes on Lute Air Student Radio. My name is Christian Bond. I am POU's half athlete. I am joined by a member of the POU women's basketball team and Lacey Nicholson, member of the POU men's basketball team and Drew Artisoni, and our new host, DJ Winter. He plays football here at POU.
Yo, yo.
So, let's get into it. Here, it's time for Lacey's Lutes. And here we go.
I am here with Dylan DeWalt. He is a sophomore on the men's basketball team. Before Christmas break, the men were able to travel to California for a couple of games down there, and Dylan was a part of that experience. First of all, Dylan, I just want to ask you how you guys did down there on the court.
Well, we played really hard, and we played well. We ended up losing a couple of games, but it was a really fun experience, and the team got a lot better.
Yeah. So you came away with 2 losses down there. Is there anything you guys took away from that experience?
Well, I think we learned a lot from our mistakes, and it was kind of a period of growth for us as a team, and I think it's something we can really expand on and learn from.
So you guys got to experience a lot more off the court as well. I know you were only there for a short period of time, maybe 2 or 3 nights. Where did you guys stay? Can you tell us a little bit about your hotel experience?
Yeah, so we stayed at a really nice hotel, one of the Hilton hotels up in Santa Cruz, about 10 minutes from the D-League Arena, and it's a really nice venue. Yeah.
Cool. And you guys were able to go watch the Golden State Warriors. I kind of saw some of the guys' Snapchats. You were on the court before the game. What was that experience like?
It was really cool. It's really interesting to be able to see like a player like Steph or Kevin Durant up close. It's almost magical, as one of the players said. Just a really cool experience to be able to see NBA players that close.
Did you get to talk to any of them?
Didn't get to talk to anyone, but I got a look from KD, so that's kind of cool.
Cool. Yeah. And where were your guys' seats when you were watching the game?
During the actual game, we were in one of the boxes around midcourt on the lower level.
That's awesome. And then after the game, you were able to meet with head coach Steve Kerr. What kind of questions did you guys ask him? How long were you able to talk to him?
So that was a really cool experience because that's somebody that we've all idolized, the whole team idolizes. So funny enough, everybody was just really quiet when he came in the room, and it was my dad asking a lot of the questions. But we basically got to have him talked to us, and he ended up asking us most of the questions. He was really interested in knowing about our team and the players, and it was a really cool experience to have, yeah.
So you mentioned your dad, and he's kind of the one that was able to make this all happen for you guys. How is he involved with the Golden State Warriors, or how was he able to get this experience for you?
He has a lot of connections through his work, so he knows a couple of the Warriors owners, and he has a couple friends who work with the sports management team for the Warriors, so he was able to pull some strings and got a box as a gift from a friend.
Awesome. And what was your favorite part of that trip?
I think my favorite part was going down on the floor and actually seeing the players that close.
Yeah. And you're from California, right?
Yeah, I'm from California.
So have you always been a big Warriors fan?
Always been a big Warriors fan, yeah.
Even when they weren't, like, the best that they are now?
Yeah, even then, back in those days.
And how do you feel about Kevin Durant playing for the Warriors right now?
Well, I'm really excited about it, and they're doing great with him, but there's been a lot of criticism about him being there, but I think he's going to fit in well, and he's been doing great so far, so we'll see.
So you guys are going to head over to Spokane this weekend, Spokane and Walla Walla, to play the Wits. What have you guys done to prepare for those games, or what can you expect from those two teams this weekend?
Well, we know it's definitely going to be a challenging weekend, but if we just play like we play, we've changed up our offense a little bit, and if we play like ourselves, I think we can pull out two wins.
Awesome. Thanks for your time, Dylan.
Yeah, thank you.
Lacey, that was your conversation with Dylan DeWaltz.
You know, for those, I know those of you guys don't know Dylan. Christian knows him a little better because he actually covers. And Lacey, you ride with us, but you never hear him talk because he's so quiet and soft-spoken. I mean, the fact that he agreed to do the interview blew me away. When you told me you were going to get Dylan DeWaltz, I was like, wait, Dylan agreed to talk? We were just I was completely blown away. But yeah, Dylan's a great kid, and he's gotten better and better every single year. And you're going to see him probably play more and more as he gets older here and gets into his junior and senior year, but it was a fun trip.
So what were your favorite parts of it? What all did you do on that trip?
So, I mean, so the team got to go to beat the Warriors and do all that stuff, which was a blast. I didn't get to go to the game because since the big move to Texas, I haven't been able to see that part of my family that lives in the Bay Area, so I went and hung out with them. I think the coolest part was being able to but probably just play and work out and practice and dress in the Warriors D-League facilities, which was super cool, and watching the D-League team practice before us. So, like, we get to go in there and watch the last 20 minutes of, like, a D-League workout.
Were there any good players on that team?
Yeah, there's some pretty good guys. There's some guys who are on, like, who are going up and down on 10 days between the Warriors, and it's really nice. It's just, you know, everyone's like, oh, it's D-League basketball. No, it's a really good basketball.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Like, it's really, really good basketball.
So I was trying to get this out of Dylan a little bit, but I heard you guys stayed in some really nice hotel rooms.
Yeah, so Coach Dickerson, you know, Coach Dickerson doesn't go cheap on beds. That's for sure. We sleep in some nice places because, you know, there's two things athletes need. You need nutrition and you need rest. That's it. That's all you need on the road is food and sleep. And so, you know, Coach doesn't go cheap in either of those areas. And men's basketball is lucky enough to have raised the money we have and have the alumni we have and have the boosters we have to be able to do really nice, cool things like that. Like my freshman year, you know, we had the money to go to Disneyland. You know, we've gotten to do some really, really cool things, and we're really lucky.
Yeah, I think you hit on the money aspect of it. And this year when we went to Vegas, we were only there for 3 nights, and usually over the Christmas break, we'll go on a trip for like 5 or 6 nights. So I think I actually liked the experience in Vegas better because we were in the nice hotel. There were perks with it, even though it was a shorter trip. I almost like that better.
Let me tell you, we've been to California. We went to Los Angeles. We went to San Antonio. We went to Santa Cruz, and then we've gone to Vegas last year. Mm-hmm. And that D3 Hoops tournament in Vegas and staying at the hotel and playing in that arena where they do the PBR is the most fun this team has ever had, and it's the best time. And so we were very jealous that we didn't get to go back, and you guys got to go this year. That was the one thing we were like, come on, we want to go back to Vegas, Coach.
I wish we could have been there at the same time, because like you said, there was a men's tournament there going on at the same time, and I think that would have been really fun to have both
really,
teams
it would have been yeah for those of you guys who don't know, men's and women's travel together. We basically do everything together, so the two teams are pretty close, so it's a lot of friendships between the teams, and it's really, really cool.
Yeah, lots of cool stuff happening over the winter break for both the men's and the women's basketball team. All right, we're going to take a short break, but when we come back, we're going to talk a little Seahawk football. It's been a while since we've done it. And talk about the playoff game that happened this weekend. This is Mass Radio Sports Talk presented by 3.5 Athletes on Loot Air Student Radio.
I heard about a shooting involving a 3-year-old girl over the summer. My daughter Riley is that age.
There was a point when I felt that I was going to die.
My parents used to always say a bullet doesn't have a name on it.
Someone put a bullet in the back of my 14-year-old son's head.
The gun should never be an option.
We're Americans. We don't have to live like this.
We can all make a difference.
In the United States, 88 people die of gun violence every day.
We can end gun violence.
Welcome back to Mass Radio Sports Talk presented by 3.5 Athletes on Loot Air Student Radio. My name is Christian Bond. I am POU's half athlete. I am joined by Lacey Nicholson of POU Women's Basketball, Drew Artisoni of POU Men's Basketball, and DJ Winter of POU Football. If you want to call into the show and talk a little Seattle Seahawks with us, give us your thoughts on the playoff game against the Detroit Lions, you can do that by calling 253-535-7332. Once again, that's 253-535-7332. Head over to massmedia.pou.edu to check out the podcast of this show. And also visit our YouTube page at Half Athlete Radio. Check it out. Give us a subscribe. Trying to get our numbers up. Impress our professors. That's really, really what we're here for.
Hey, that was great, Christian. That Half Athlete Radio on YouTube, that was very well done. That channel came out of nowhere, and then we got some views on our Peach Bowl thing. That was really, really cool.
Some views.
And we got about 3,000 people that listened to our Peach Bowl preview on YouTube. So
pretty good.
Thank you.
It's well worth
it. Yeah, thank you very much. And DJ, I don't know about you. Brent Musburger may get you fired up, but every time we play that song in here, it's like football's about to start. Let's go. Let's talk some Seahawks.
Hey, I'm all for it.
Let's do it. Last time we talked about the Seahawks, they were about to play the Green Bay Packers. That game didn't go very well for them. They finished the regular season 11-5-1. The Seahawks did. In their final seven games of the regular season, however, the team was 4-3. The team got the third seed in the NFC playoffs and played the Detroit Lions. So, DJ, I'll ask you, on a scale of 1 to 10, what was your confidence level in this team entering the playoffs and why?
Well, for the first game, I wasn't too worried. You know, home game, night. It would be a cakewalk for the Hawks to win. But after that, I was like a 5 or 6 just because of the lack of offense. And how poorly the Seahawks have built their offense, especially not paying any attention up front. And when you have the lowest paid offensive line in football, you're not going to be able to do much. And that's why Russell's been beat up this year. That's why we haven't been able to run the ball. And especially with the loss of Earl Thomas on defense, they're suspect at best, I believe. They're good enough, but they're not good enough to carry a poor offense. But now I'm at about a 7 or an 8, after seeing Rawls run that way on Saturday night. I think he had 160 yards, which was a Seahawks, playoff franchise record.
It was beast mode esque.
Yes. Yeah. And I think if he can keep doing that, he could be the guy to carry the Hawks all the way to the Super Bowl, because like I said, with him in there running like he is, that boost the offense up that much, and the defense can be good enough to get us all the way to the Super Bowl. Maybe not win, but get us there.
So like you mentioned, DJ, the Seahawks won their first round playoff matchup against the Lions. Its final score was 26-6. The game went how a lot of football pundits thought it would. A lot of people were expecting the Seahawks to just kind of walk past the Lions, and that's what they did. Lacey, I'll ask you, what did you expect from the game? Did you expect it to go that way? Did you expect it to be closer? What were your thoughts on it?
Honestly, I didn't know what to expect heading into this game. We've been commentating on the Seahawks for their whole season, and we know how frustrating it's been seeing them be a little streaky throughout their season. You don't really know what day they're going to bring it and what day it's going to be like, shoot, we should have had that one. And especially DJ kind of hit on the injuries with Earl Thomas and recently Tyler Lockett being out, and that definitely affects the team some of those big-time players on offense and defense. But at the end of the day, the Seahawks pulled it together and pulled out a great team win. But it's the playoffs, and every team is good in the playoffs, and it's only going to get tougher from here. So they just got to keep that mental focus and keep moving.
Mm-hmm. So we've already hit on the Earl Thomas injury. Drew, in the games that Earl Thomas missed, this team was ranked 30th in pass defense.
Yeah.
Entering the game, Detroit was the 11th best passing offense in the regular season. How'd the Hawks keep him in check?
Matthew Stafford was hurt. That's how the Hawks kept them in check. Matthew Stafford did not have a middle finger. I don't know if anyone saw, but a middle finger on his throwing hand was in a splint, kind of a funky glove job, and it was really weird. And to throw the ball up here in the wet, in the cold, mm-hmm. at night, and now operating in front of the crowd at the Clink, like, there's no way.
They had monitors like, for earthquake.
There's just no way. And, you know, Earl Thomas is the motor that makes the Hawks go. Mm-hmm. But if you can get the offense in really, really bad situations, like with a banged up quarterback and not a lot of help on the outside, I don't know if it's the Hawks defense. I think it was just Matthew Stafford's banged up. And I'm scared to bet against Matt Ryan, who's playing like an MVP.
Mm-hmm.
That's where I'm like, let's hold on here. Let's see how good the Seahawks defense is against an MVP caliber offense that they're about to come up against. And also the time of possession was like 36 minutes by the Hawks, 22 minutes mm-hmm. by the Lions. Run on the ball. Thomas Rawls kept the ball out of the hands of Matt Stafford. That helps too.
Yep.
For sure.
I love that time of possession stat. Good stuff, Drew. All right, DJ, you catch passes for the POU football team sometimes. Sometimes you block. How about some of the catches Paul Richardson had made? Where has he been
good
all season?
Lord.
Like, where did that come from?
Yeah, well, I think it's about 80-20 for me passing and catching, but that'll change. But yeah, that was big time of him stepping up, and like I said, that's one of the reasons my confidence has grown with this team. If we can have guys like Richardson, Curse, even like Tanner McAvoy, mm-hmm. like step up, that's going to make this offense better, and we really need that in order to beat the Falcons this weekend and maybe even beat a really hot Green Bay team or a Dallas team that has just been dominant.
That's not going to happen.
It would be at CenturyLink. It would be at CenturyLink, not Green Bay.
That's a good point.
Aaron Rodgers has thrown like what, 18, 19 touchdowns and zero picks
interceptions
in the last seven games.
A lot of Hail Marys.
He said they
too.
Were going to run the table.
Yeah,
looks like they are.
Yeah, the Hawks actually open up as a 3.5 point favorite over the Falcons this weekend, which is interesting. I think
that's my. I always bring out the spread. The new guy in here coming in hot,
stealing your stat.
I love it.
All right, let's get back on track here. The Seahawks were the 25th best rushing team in the NFL during the regular season. We've already mentioned Thomas Rawls a couple times. Lacey, how was he able to do it on Saturday night?
Well, I'm going to mention him again. He mm-hmm. was the key to that rushing offense. And like Drew said, Thomas Rawls went beast mode for the Seahawks. He had 27 carries for 161 yards and one touchdown. And I think if we can see this type of rushing offense from the Hawks more often throughout this postseason, they're going to be hard to stop on offense. To add that extra threat with the rushing.
Mm-hmm, I agree with that. All right, let's do it. Let's look forward. The Seahawks play the Atlanta Falcons. We've already mentioned that a little bit. Seahawks beat the Falcons during the regular season in week 6 at home. They beat them 26-24. This time, the Falcons are at home. Drew, I got to know, is there anything we can take from the first matchup between these two teams into this playoff game or forget about that one? It's a whole new ballgame.
So many blown coverages in the Seattle secondary that first time around. You guys made Matt Ryan look like Joe Montana. It was ridiculous the way he tore up the Seahawks this time around.
To be fair, though, Matt Ryan's done that to a lot of teams.
Yeah, to be fair, Matt Ryan's playing the best football of his life right mm-hmm. now. I think that's a big nod to Kyle Shanahan. Huge nod to the man on the sidelines calling the plays. I just think that if you get a chance to go on social media and see their interview of them two talking together to the Monday morning quarterback, it's fantastic. It's really, really good radio, really, really good TV too. Mm-hmm. And I just think that the Hawks offense is mediocre at best, and the Falcons offense is firing all cylinders, and the Hawks defense has consistently had trouble. But, you know, with a week to prepare, I don't bet against Pete. I don't bet against the defense. You got time to prepare.
So, Drew, I might have an idea on where you're leaning towards this next question, but let's do it. Let's make our predictions for the game. DJ, you're new here, so we'll go ahead and we'll let you make the selection. And tell us what the Seahawks will do this week.
If I was a betting man, I would say that the Seahawks will avenge their divisional round loss from a few years back and go in there and win 21-17. The key of this game will be holding the Falcons' passing offense, which is averaging just under 300 yards per game, underneath that mark, maybe like 250 or something. And Tom Cable, the Seahawks' offensive line coach, says 50 is the magic number in rushing attempts and completions. And if we can do that, if we can get to that magic number, then I think we should be able to pull this one out.
All right, so DJ's picking them to win. Lacey, what do you got?
I think the Seahawks are going to win. It's definitely going to be a tough game. I don't have a score for you guys, but I like DJ's close, low score, 21-17. The last time the Hawks faced the Falcons was back in October, and the Hawks came out on top only by 2. The score was 26-24. And in that game, Christine Michael was a huge factor.
Huge.
With 64 yards rushing and 2 touchdowns, but obviously he is not a part of the Seahawks roster anymore. And I think I've already hit on it, but Thomas Rawls is really going to have to step up, and I think this is a good opportunity for him to do that. And then you also have great receivers. With the absence of Tyler Lockett, it's going to hurt the Hawks, but you still got Baldwin, Curse, and Jimmy Graham out there who can make big-time plays for them. And another player that was really effective in that game back in October was... Earl Thomas, on the defensive end. Earl Thomas had an interception in that game, which was a huge momentum swing. And once again, he's out for the rest of the season. So I think it's going to be a huge test for some of these Seahawks players to fill some voids that they've been missing. But I think the Seahawks will come out with a win.
Despite all those injuries, Lacey's going to stick with the Seahawks to advance another round in the playoffs. All right, Drew. Tell me what you're thinking on this game. What will the Seahawks do?
The Seahawks will lose.
Ooh, there it is.
Matt Ryan, on the back of 4,944 yards in the air, 70% completion rate, 38 TDs, and only 7 interceptions. And only 7 picks.
That's DJ really just mouthed, that's really good.
117.1 passer rating.
Yeah.
And you're coming against a banged-up secondary. You're going to have to play man-to-man coverage, and last time I checked, Julio Jones owns that matchup on Richard Sherman. 138 yards and a TD could have been about 210 and 2 TDs if there would have been a pass interference call at the end of that game. So I would say Falcons own the Hawks probably 2-3 touchdown margin.
Is he the MVP, Matt Ryan, this year?
Yes. And now I live in Texas and they're surrounded by Cowboys fans, and I'll still tell you Matt Ryan's the MVP of the league this year, by far. And Kyle Shanahan, the OC, is the co-MVP because that guy is a football genius.
Yeah, very fair. All right, we're going to take a short break. When we come back, we got to put a bow on our UW Huskies coverage. They played in the Peach Bowl. Find out what we thought about what went down. This is Mass Radio Sports Talk presented by 3.5 Athletes on Loot Air Student Radio.
My hair is kind of different.
Not everyone likes the way I dress. And I don't look like other people.
Me neither. Everyone is different, but no one deserves to be bullied. So be kind. Stay positive and support each other.
Every single day.
Together we can change the game.
Welcome back to Mass Radio Sports Talk presented by 3.5 Athletes on Loot Air Student Radio. My name is Christian Bond. I am PLU's half athlete. I'm joined by Lacey Nicholson of PLU Women's Basketball, Drew Artisoni of PLU Men's Basketball, and DJ Winter of PLU Football. If you want to call in the show and talk to us about what happened in the Peach Bowl between the Huskies and the Alabama Crimson Tide, you can do that. You can call us at 253-535-7332. Once again, that number is 253-535-7332. Hey, check out the show on mastmedia.plu.edu in podcast form. If you missed a segment or a couple, go back, check it out, give us a listen there. And also check us out on YouTube at Half Athlete Radio. Segments, clips from the show up on YouTube. Subscribe to the page and help us out. All right, let's do it. Let's wrap up our UW football coverage for the year. The Huskies lost 24-7, but they hung in there for most of the game against the number one ranked team in the country for all of the year. Everyone considered Alabama the favorite. That offense, the UW offense, just couldn't get anything going apart from that first drive there. Why was that, Lacey?
Well, guys, Alabama is a very talented team with some big dudes, and they held UW as well as a lot of the teams they played this season to a very low score, as they should have, being the number one ranked team in the country. Bama was able to sack Browning five times, with the Huskies being a primarily passing offense. I think the Bama defense did a good job of pressuring Browning into quick decisions, and because of that, he threw two interceptions, as well as one fumble by Ross. The three turnovers allowed Bama to capitalize and score 10 points just from the defensive end. And there was a change of momentum at the end of that first half when Alabama got a pick six, and that kind of changed the whole ball game heading into the second half.
I've been a huge Jake Browning, like, rah-rah guy this entire time. I'm telling you right now, that ball should never have left his hand.
Yeah, it
he should never have thrown that ball, and Coach Troy Taylor would tell him the same thing. That one's got to go out of bounds.
Mm-hmm. Yep, I'll agree with that one. All right, the Huskies defense held Alabama to 24 points. But did they really play that well, DJ?
Yes, they did.
Okay.
If you look at it, the Huskies defense actually held Alabama to 17 points because of the pick six.
That's right.
But, it's, you know, math. They
thank you. I can do math every once in a while.
Attaboy.
I'm just glad that the selection committee gave the Dogs a chance to get in there, give them a chance against Alabama. We were talking before the show, and Drew said they were a year away, maybe, even though the selection committee did give them a chance. And I would have to agree with that. But going back to the defense, the offense just put them in a bunch of bad situations. Their starting field position was on Alabama's side of the 50, and it was just terrible because, like, you would keep trying to gain momentum, but you just felt like you were hanging on a cliff.
Mm-hmm.
And that's kind of how I felt coming into the game. And when we threw that touchdown, you know, maybe I was climbing up a little bit, but then they just shot me down like that. And it's just after the first quarter, there was no hope, I feel like, for UW fans, because Alabama was just that dominant.
Yep.
So I have a question.
Bro, you sound like actually sad. Like, you sound sad. Heartbroken.
I was sad.
I'm sorry, buddy.
Yeah. It's a great season. We'll be back next year.
Yeah.
But yes, I got a question for you, DJ, since you play football. I know you're not a defensive player, but what really killed the Dogs, in my opinion, was watching Bama's running back, number 9,
that
Bo Scarborough.
Like a tight end. He's not a running back. He's a tight end who takes carries.
He's 6'3",
250 pounds.
Yeah. Every single play, he averaged 9.5 yards per carry for a total of 180 yards and two touchdowns. Why weren't the Huskies able to recognize this and stop him? I mean,
well, it's like the Seahawks with beast mode a couple years ago. It just takes the pride and joy out of playing defense against that Alabama offense.
Also, you have to remember that you have a Heisman nominee also behind center taking snaps.
Mm-hmm.
That's the other thing, is that, yeah, Alabama's known for SEC, and I'm going to punch you in the mouth football, but they actually had a quarterback this year who could spread the field and make plays.
Yeah.
And UW can't not respect that. And UW's strength, I believe, in their defense is not in the down four, but in the back seven, is in the secondary and in your linebacker core. And I just felt like your linemen got pushed around.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I didn't think that Huskies tackled well at all.
Yeah,
Scarborough's were. That's why I asked you, they really play that well. 24 points is not that much for an Alabama offense.
Mm-hmm.
But when you see that, you know, Scarborough averaged 9.5 yards per carry, like, really, were they that good?
Yeah. And it's going to be really interesting to see, especially next year.
Yeah,
because
next year you guys would be really
Buda
good.
Baker, we lost Buda Baker. We lost Sidney Jones. I'm not sure about Kevin King, but those guys in the back end of the defense, I hope we can replace them. I mean, I know we're going to be good, but USC is going to be good as well, especially with Sam Darnold. Yes.
Yeah. He's a beast. All right, so we kind of started the show by talking about this. Drew, you went on a little bit of a rant to begin. Now let's go full circle. Let's go back. Did the Dogs deserve to be in the college football playoff?
Under the current system and under the current guidelines to make the college football playoff, yes. Were they the fourth best team in the country at the end of the year? No. But did they deserve to be there by the rules of the committee? Yes, they did. By every stretch of the imagination, they deserved to be there. Me and DJ talked about at the beginning of the year. If Washington would have gone to the Rose Bowl, let's just say they would have gone to the Rose Bowl and didn't make the national championship, it still would have been a great year for UW football. In Chris Peterson's mind, they were a year away. Yep. We talked about they were a year away from being dominant. Mm-hmm. Now they go to the national championship. They play an Alabama team. Christian was on me all the whole 2 weeks we talked about the national championship. He's going to say, you can't just talk about how big they are. You just can't talk about how big they are. You have to give me some stats. They got pushed around. It was because Alabama was bigger. That was the only difference. Because let me tell you this right now, UW has better skill players than Alabama does. And it's been proven all year. Mm-hmm. And so did UW deserve to be there? Yes, but are they probably the top four teams in the country? No, I'd put them currently at number five. I think that Penn State and USC are in the four. I believe it goes Alabama, Clemson, USC, Penn State, UW, Ohio State. I think that UW's right there on the cusp. I expect them to be the preseason number five next year. If Clemson does not drop out because of the loss of Deshaun Watson, they may move up to the four, but I think that's how it currently sits. UW did deserve to go. They had a hell of a year. They're going to be even better next year. Watch out for the Dogs. They're going to be a higher seed than four next year, I promise.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So you're going to put – let's see. USC was worse statistically, offensively, than UW was. And Penn State gave up 52 points to that team. You're going to try and put that defense against Alabama and get a better game?
No, I'm not saying they would have
gotten
them.
Even if the Huskies...
I'm not saying they would have gotten them a better game. I'm saying USC would have scored more than 7 points.
They would have scored more than 7 points?
Yes.
I think
yes.
But they would have given up 55.
USC scored more than that on UW.
Yeah. No.
USC ran UW out of the water.
I think USC just had bigger horses up front.
And Sam Darnold is the best quarterback in college football right now.
I don't know. I don't think there's a team that could have played Alabama and kept the game as close as they did.
But if you put any team that probably didn't not defensively, make it in. Probably not defensively. I think I give you that, but that's why UW was there this year because of their defense.
Mm-hmm.
Like you cannot make the college football playoff and have an embarrassing loss. USC and Penn State both had embarrassing losses. You can't make it.
Yeah. Browning was a completely different quarterback second half of the year too.
USC shook him bad. That shook his confidence bad. Yeah. I've never seen Jake play like that ever.
He's thrown a lot of passes in his high school and early college career. I mean, in California, he set records.
I know, I played against him.
Played against Drew, man. Yeah. How many touchdowns he threw?
A lot.
Yeah.
A lot. So, 10 a game.
Good.
Average 10 a game.
Mm-hmm.
He was ridiculous. That's mm-hmm. why I said I've never seen him play like this. The high of the second half of the year, it was so sad.
Yeah.
And I feel kind of bad for the Skyline High School alum who Sam Darnold sat in front of. The only reason they played him to start the year is so he wouldn't transfer. And they did it because they didn't have a backup for Sam Darnold.
Yep.
That's the only reason they did that. And it cost them a spot in the college football playoff. I feel bad for the poor kid, man.
I think he'll have success at Pitt, though.
He's moving on.
I do. But let me tell you this right now. Watch out for Sam Darnold the next 2 years. He'll be a Heisman candidate next year.
Oh, yeah, next year.
He's a stud.
529 yards. It's ridiculous in a bowl game. It's ridiculous.
For a freshman.
All right, so today has been fun. Covering the Huskies has been a blast all season long. And we'll move on next week to a little UW basketball, which I'm not sure
I'm excited about
Macy
it.
Is.
Why are you excited about it?
Maybe the women's basketball.
Yeah, might be the women's basketball
the women's team. Let's talk about the women's team.
I'm not excited to talk about the worst coach in Division I men's basketball.
By the way, UW women beat number 9 UCLA last night.
Yeah, see, there we go. We might just do women's basketball from UW.
Men's basketball is
ridiculous. Forgo men's basketball. All right, so tune in next week to the show. Check us out on YouTube, Half Athlete Radio, mastmedia.pou.edu for podcasts of this show. Tune in to Laser all week long. Cool shows. I'm not sure when the schedule is. J-term is a little bit different here at POU. One class, 3 hours, 4 days a week. So anyway, today has been fun. For DJ Winter, Lacey Nicholson, and Drew Artisoni, my name is Christian Bond. We're out of here. See ya.